blood that was shed was God actually taking, the Bible doesn't say whether it was a goat or a lamb. I believe it was either of those. That's my opinion. But God had to sacrifice a lamb to cover and make atonement, bring a covering to their nakedness. That's the first mention of blood being shed. And then if you go on a little bit further, when Cain killed Abel, God actually came to Cain and he says, the blood of your brother is calling out from the ground, from the soil. The blood speaks. If blood of a human being has the power to call out to God from the soil, how much more powerful is the blood of Jesus Christ? And I'm not going to go into the theology of the blood because it's such a long teaching, but what I do want to read to you, I started reading this morning again, yet again. I asked the Holy Spirit, God, where do you want me to read in your word? And I think it is very important that you don't just pick up the word of God and you begin to read, but that you ask God, as little as you are, kids, when you begin to read, when you want to read the Bible, ask God, God, where do you want me to read? Where do you want me to read today? What do you want to say to me? And when you feel that the Spirit of God leads you to that place in the Word, say thank you. Appreciate the fact that God speaks to you. And I was just reading this morning. The Holy Spirit led me to the book of Revelation again. And I want you to understand here that John was on the Isle of Patmos. In Revelation chapter 1, get your Bibles ready. He was on the Isle of Patmos and he was exiled there. Now, there's an interesting backstory to how John ended up there. He was severely scarred and marred because he actually survived a pot of burning oil. That was basically, he was going to be a martyr for Jesus Christ. I said, deny Jesus or we're going to throw you into this pot of burning oil. And they had the belief back then, if you're able to survive it, then you're free, then you're alive. He survived it, but he was so severely scarred that they exiled him to the Isle of Patmos. And there he just spent time with God. And he received this revelation of Jesus Christ. And let me read from verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. Who's the ruler over the kings of the earth? Jesus Christ. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. From our sins in his own blood. And Darren, this connects to what you were just saying before. And made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Jesus Christ washed us in his own blood so that we could be made kings and priests unto his God and Father. Only through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's only through the blood of Jesus that we can overcome. In these times that we're in today, we actually were reading with the kids this morning our devotion, and our morning devotion was actually very appropriate for the times that we're in. And it talked about, it was telling a story about a boy that had a Sunday school lesson that he had to prepare for the next Sunday. And on Wednesday, his mum came out and asked him, I think his name was Thomas in this story, Thomas, have you done your Sunday school lesson yet? And this was while he was doing basketball hoops. And his mum said, he said to his mum, no, mum, I haven't had time yet. So his mum kept a little calendar of what he was doing from Wednesday onward. She just kept a little diary. And Saturday evening, she went to Thomas's room and asked him, Thomas, have you done your Sunday school lesson? Did you read your chapters and did you do your Sunday school lesson? And he said to his mum, I did the first chapter, but it was so hard, it was too much, I don't have time. And she brought out the little diary and the calendar and she said, Thomas, I just paid attention to what you've been doing since Wednesday. And she went through, she said, you did 6 hours of watching TV, you did 4 hours of doing something else, and you did... She basically just gave him a little bit of a rundown of what he's done. And she asked him, she said, do you really think you don't have time? And the story ended with him saying, no, I guess I don't have an excuse. Let me go right now and do my Sunday school lesson. And the moral of the story is we all have the same amount of time every day. Each one of us. We have the same amount of time every day. But you will do everything in your time that you prioritize. If you prioritize your work over God, you will spend time at your work and at the end of the day, go to bed thinking to yourself, that was such a busy day, I didn't have time to read my word. If you prioritize your exercise and your work and other things, and at the end of the day you say, I didn't have time to spend with God today, it's your choice. If you prioritize your extra sleep in the morning and you say, I didn't have time to spend in the Word of God, that's your choice, but it was your priorities. We, every single one of us, have got the same amount of time every single day. What do you prioritize? Do you prioritize your family? Mom and Dad, I'm speaking to you. Are you prioritizing your family enough that you say, I must get up an hour earlier in the morning so that the blood of Jesus Christ is covering my house, that I can pray and I can do spiritual warfare, that I can engage the enemy that is coming against my family, that I can engage him in the spirit, that I can begin to set up boundaries and say, no, you devil of oppression, of confusion, of lust, of lies and deceit, you will not enter into my house. Because it's not just going to happen. It says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against him. He will not raise up a standard that you yourself does not comply to. He's not going to do something that you yourself is too lazy to do. We are warriors in Christ Jesus, which means we're engaged in a battle all the time. And he called us, go read it, he's called us to be watchmen over our homes. Mom and dads, I'm speaking to you. Kids, listen to me, because one day, if God will tarry long enough, you will be in the position that you have a family that you need to look after. You have a wife and a husband and children that you need to teach these things to. And you will be in a position that you need to take care of your family. Please make God and the blood of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice your priority every morning so that your family can be protected, so that God can forewarn you about things that are coming against you during the day, so that you have that time set apart that you can spend with God and say, God, I am here to hear from you today. Speak to me, God. Your servant is listening. If you don't set that time apart, where do you want God to speak to you? Where are you going to learn to hear His voice with all the other voices that are happening in the world today? We need time to silence the enemy, and that we can just spend time with God. Prioritize God. Prioritize Him, because that's the time in the morning when you are fresh, when you can hear the birds singing outside, that you can spend time with God and say, God, today I plead the precious blood of Jesus Christ over my family. This house, I rope this property off with the precious blood of Jesus, and I declare in the name of Jesus that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I bind and I cast out every satanic being from this property. I declare your presence here illegal, and I command you to get out. Sickness will have no hold over my household and my family. I'm giving you examples here of what I'm praying in the morning. God, your word says that no pest or plague will come near my dwelling. Your word says that I can go out into this world today, and even if 1,000 fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, it shall not come near me. Only with my eyes shall I look and see the reward of the wicked. I thank you, God, that today you promise that you will lead me beside quiet and still waters. You will refresh my soul today. That you set a table in the presence of my enemies. Your enemies are not going to go away. In fact, Jesus promised your enemies will multiply. The Son of God walked on this earth and they killed him. We are not much better. The word promises us as we draw near to the end, persecutions will intensify and will multiply and come against his church. Yes, I believe that God will still storms in our life. I do believe that. But I don't believe he's going to take storms away, because it's not biblical. I don't believe we're not going to go through the fires. I believe we will go through the fires. But I believe on the other side of the fire, we will have a testimony, because his word promises when you go through the fire, the flame will not kindle upon you. That is a testimony. That is a testimony. When you go through the storms, he will be with you. They will not sweep you away. That is a testimony. I was reading in my devotion this morning from how so many Christians want to have peace in their life. And peace is wonderful, worldly peace, I mean, like they just want things to sail smoothly. But unless you go through trials and tribulations, unless you're forced sometimes to get on your knees, you will not know what it means to engage the enemy in battle. God will not be able to prepare you to go to the next level. Really, when you engage the enemy, like, wow, yeah, I can fight this public battle today because I've learned to deal with a bear and a lion in my private life. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Ken talked about King David. King David had the boldness to take on Goliath the giant because of two things. Number one, he knew who his God was, and he knew that he was in covenant with his God. Number two, he learned to fight battles. He said that the bear and the lion came and snatched his sheep away. But where's the miracle in that? The miracle was not that he went after him and killed him. Read that scripture carefully. It says he took the lamb from his mouth and the lamb was fine. The bear and the lion came and he stole the sheep. The bear and the lion will come against your family and might do something that will snatch a sheep away from your family. But it's up to us to go after the bear and the lion, to go kill the bear and the lion, to go kill that demonic spirit that come against your household, that go and chase after it. Don't sit back in your armchair and say, oh, it's God's will. No, it's not God's will when your family is destroyed. It is not God's will when the enemy comes against you and takes and destroy your life, wreak havoc in your life, take your children away. That's not God's will. But I've heard of so many Christians that just say, it's God's will. It's not God's will. Read your word. Find out what your word says. Jesus prayed and he said, Our Father who are in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Very important there. He said, Your kingdom come as it is in heaven, so be on earth. We read the other night to the kids in 1 Corinthians. I'm connecting these for you in a minute, then I'll hand over to Pastor Ken. We read to the kids in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 about the gifts that God gave to the church. And very importantly, he gave it not for our own benefit, but for the benefit of others. All right, so he gave us gifts for others. Jesus said, as in heaven, so be on earth. We need to know what happens in heaven. We need to know what these gifts are for from heaven, so that we know that when we walk in the city, when we walk in our town, when we walk in our world and in our job, what is heaven and what is not heaven, so that we have and we can recognize the opportunities where we can bring heaven to earth. If God has blessed you with resources and you see somebody lacking, heaven is bringing those resources to that person who is in need. Those are gifts. Those are gifts that God gives us for the benefit of others. If your Bible says that sickness is in heaven, then stop praying for the sick. Do you get what I'm saying? My Bible does not say that. In fact, my Bible says there are no tears. There are no sickness. There are no disease, no death. So when you hear preachers saying, God sent sickness on you, change preacher. Because that's a message from the father of lies, not from my word. If sickness is so normal in heaven, why did Jesus heal? Let's make sure we spend time in the Word of God. Make sure in the mornings you ask God to continually cleanse you with the blood of Jesus. Put the blood of Jesus over your family. Put the blood of Jesus over your family. I'll finish with this. I grew up in South Africa, and South Africa, if you don't know the news, if you don't read the news of what's happening there, it's not a good place to be in. In particular, if you're a farmer, they're really out against you. Farm murders are horrific there, absolutely horrific, and they are prevalent. Now, we might look at it here and we go, wow, thank God it doesn't happen here, and I am. Very, very grateful that those things don't happen here in our society. But I can tell you now that I have friends in South Africa still who are farmers. And I can tell you now, they know tonight when they sit around dinner table with their families around them, they know it's only because of the blood of Jesus. We think how horrible it is, and God is using those horrible situations to bring families together and just say, you know what, wife and kids, we thank God for this meal that we can have together, because nobody knew this morning when we left the house whether we're going to be here tonight, because it's a real, real enemy out there, always hungry to physically kill, steal, and destroy us. They're in a storm, many places in the world. People are in storms. But God uses those storms to bring people closer to God. Now, your prayers that you pray, I want to ask you this. think of this very carefully, because this might actually just be that thing that wake you up what you pray for. If God were to answer the prayers you've prayed in the last 24 hours, what difference would there be in your world? Pastor Ken, I'm giving it to you.
Man, is that a challenge or what? Lecky, you're taking the children out for a little bit. Yeah, thanks. Kids, off you go with Lexi. All under control there. You know, some of the areas that Ray covered are exactly along the lines of what I believe God wanted us to know. And we've had some storms in our lives around here lately. And those of you on the Zoom and those here would have experienced some of the turmoils and the storms that this life is throwing up today. And we don't stand strong in the power of the name of Jesus and take that authority away from the powers of darkness that are trying to rule this world. It'll overwhelm us. We'll wonder what happened, you know, but we've got the authority in the name of Jesus. And it's interesting. We put a song on a little while ago, and I'm going to finish with it today. Your Blood Speaks a Better Word by Leland. And I want to finish with that today. But before I do, just as Rake mentioned, when Abel, out in the field with his brother Cain, Cain got jealous of him, and Cain got, you know, really crazy, and he slew his brother. They were walking along and pretending to be nice buddies, and all of a sudden Cain rises up, takes Abel's life. God meets up with him and says, what have you done? This is in Genesis 4, if you want to read the story. And he says, am I my brother's keeper? Why should I? How would I know where my brother is? And he said, the voice of your brother's blood cries to me from the earth. And that really is an amazing story of how the blood of a human being whose life was taken illegitimately and illegally was slain, but the blood spoke. The blood cried out. The blood bore testimony to an event. You think of those lines. The blood bore testimony to an event. If you and I see something and someone says, did you see it? You can tell what you saw, and you're testifying to an event. But the voice that God said, the voice of Abel's blood cries out to me from the ground, bearing testimony of the event and what you've done. That's pretty amazing. That's incredible. You think about that. You think that there was a testimony there of what had happened. And if we look across over into the New Testament and we see how in the book of Hebrews, especially chapter 12, there was a situation there where the writer was reiterating the Old Testament covenant. There was a physical mountain that had the rules and regulations given that the people had to follow, etc. But we have not come to a physical mountain. We've come to Mount Zion. We've come to the city of God. We've come to the New Jerusalem, or the heavenly Jerusalem, in the witness and in the company of innumerable angels. And to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. It's really amazing. We have come into a greater kingdom and a greater capacity than ever that Old Testament covenant was at a physical mountain. And regardless of how glorious it looked with what was going on up there and Moses coming down radiant and bright, they couldn't look at him. We've gone into a far greater, a far, far greater scenario. And it says, and Jesus brought about a new covenant, with blood. And the blood of that covenant speaks better things. Speaks, listen to me, bears testimony to an event. Bears testimony to better things than that of Abel's. Now, the blood of the Lord Jesus. And if you look in the book of Hebrews, underline and note everything that says a better way, a better covenant, a better testimony. It's all there. Everything was far greater, far better. And we must get a hold of the fact that this new covenant life that we have been given and walk in and have come to know is so much greater. But that blood today doesn't lie in the ground speaking of an event of death. It speaks an event of resurrected life. It still speaks. You and I may not know that, but it still speaks. Why does it still speak? Well, we're not under a system of works and rituals, but Christ came as a high priest of good things to come. Of good things to come. And it says that he took his own blood and he entered into a heavenly sanctuary. Now, in the old covenant, they went into a physical sanctuary, and once a year they put the blood on the mercy seat and God forgave the sins of the people. And that was sometimes a pretty horrific event, because if they didn't get their sins forgiven, the high priest's life was taken. But in this instance, the Lord Jesus, not only did he die on the cross, not only did he raise from the dead, but in the interim, he took his own blood miraculously into the heavenly sanctuary. Into the heavenly sanctuary, and purged the very area that Satan corrupted and polluted from day one. Did you know that? He was the leader of worship in heaven. He violated God's trust. He violated God's throne room. He violated that perfect place of God's presence. And Jesus came along and said that violation no longer has effect anywhere. And that blood was sprinkled right at the forefront of the Father's vision. If the Father looks out, he cannot help but see the blood, and that blood speaks. That blood bears testimony. That blood cries out, "Woohoo! I'm so taken by that." Because it cannot ever be erased from the Father's eyesight, memory, or it's a thing of the past. It is current, 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 current. It's more current now than it was when I said it a second ago. It's more current now than when I just said it. You know, you see what I'm saying? It's constantly current. In the eyes of the Father, that blood is speaking and bearing testimony to the work of Calvary. Oh, my Lord, that is so incredibly amazing. That is just so intense. And if you get an understanding and a revelation of this, and you realize that the Father in heaven has that blood on, constantly reminding him of the covenant cut with God and his people, and he never violates that, but he waits for us. He waits, just as Rake said. He's just not going to come along and do it automatically if we're lazy and sitting back. We need to be powerfully active. We need to be on our guard. We need to be an army that are fighters. We need to say, "Father God, I'm taking what you've given me, and in the name of Jesus, I stand against the onslaught of the enemy. I stand against the fact that you're trying to take my children, my business, my life. You're trying to interfere with my finances. In the name of Jesus, I give you no authority there. I remove it, and I stand fast and firm in the covenant I have with my Father God, sealed by the blood of Jesus." Woo-hoo! How powerful would that be if we were mindful of that? If we knew how much the blood speaks, we could be actively engaged far more with that blood covenant operating in our lives. It speaks on the other side. It's got to speak just as loud on this side. It really, really, really does. We don't go through repeated rituals as they did in the old covenant, but we go standing firm. And the Bible just says, if you take the armor of God, you know, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and all of the armor, praying always is the next part of that. Don't forget, you've got your helmet, you've got your shield, you've got your breastplate of righteousness, you've got your loins girt about with truth, feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace, the sword of the Spirit. And everyone finishes there, but it says, and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, is just as much a part of the armor as the other parts. It is so important, so important. So if the blood of Abel had a voice, the blood of Christ has a greater voice, as we read in Hebrews, bearing greater testimony, greater testimony. It says also in Hebrews, if the blood of bulls and goats could do this much, how much more? How much more? How much more can the blood of Christ? Woo-hoo! Absolutely. And that scripture that Rake brought out and Darren both mentioned from Revelation 12. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now the blood cleanses us from sin. The blood is our entry gate into the King of God. But the blood of the Lamb is far greater than that when we're going to overcome and use it. Because if that blood is speaking, as I've just spoken, if the blood is testifying in the spirit realm, it's got to testify in our realm. And if we're going to overcome with the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, the word of our testimony has to be based on the provision, protection, and power of the blood's operation in our lives. Amen? You think about that. You think about that. And we can say straight out and stand fast, I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm cleansed from sin. I'm forgiven. I'm covered, I'm protected in the name of Jesus. I'm enveloped in the love of God through the blood of the Lord Jesus. I'm redeemed, I'm sanctified, I'm purified. I'm made holy and I'm made righteous. I'm raised with him, I'm seated in heavenly places. I'm walking with him and I'm overcoming through the blood of the Lamb and the confession of my faith, because that blood is speaking in and through me today. And I'm standing firm on what Christ has done. And the blood speaks as you speak in the name of Jesus. Did you know that? Yes, amen. It is so powerful. And there's not one aspect, one facet, one moment, or one incident in our life where God's blood does not have a voice. If we use it, it will be a testimony. It will speak. It will testify of all that God has done in and through and for us. And we enact that, and God acts on our behalf. Because of the covenant, he's never changed. That song that Darren played, when did he stop? Never. When did he quit? Never. When did he turn aside? Never. Never has, never will. I love that. Love that. You know, and we've got to be a little more diligent, a lot more diligent, because the blood will speak in and through the testimony that we have, and we will overcome. And we are overcoming, and we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, because we're enacting and invoking that powerful covenant force that God made available to us. Amen? We can stand strong, and I love that. I love that. I know Emma had to stand strong, and boy, the company backed down. Is that right?
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing out there that is greater than the power of the name of Jesus. And we've got to start to act and start to work. And I just want us to listen to this song. Sing this amazing song along with us if you want to. But this will give new meaning to the words of this song by Leland. Your blood speaks a better word. Let's go for it.
Healing everyone, your blood is making all things new. Your blood speaks a better word. Better word, sing it. You sing it out with love.
Lord God, we thank you so much for the blood of our Lord Jesus. We thank you so much for today, for the sacrifice you made to draw us to yourself, to set our feet upon a rock, to make us new in Christ Jesus, to cause us to stand, to live and to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so God, today we make refresh our covenant with you, Lord God. We say today, Lord, we're so sorry if we've failed. We're so sorry. We repent, Lord God, of our lethargy, of our failures, of our slackness at times. And God, we determine now to walk in the life that you've provided for us, in that covenant life that is covered with your precious blood, so that the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony align together, Lord God, that our lives would align with that, that the blood would speak in all that we are, say, and do in this life for you, that the name of Jesus would be lifted up and glorified, and that, Father God, you would be exalted above all. We praise you for that covenant protection. We pray it over our homes and families right now in the name of Jesus. We release your blood into every situation that is adverse or tending or trying to attack us or bring us down. And we reject it in the name of Jesus. We bind its effect. We just tell it straight away it has no authority. Now in the name of Jesus, we cover every situation with your precious blood. We cover our hearts. We cover our minds, that our minds and our thoughts would not run off in tangents and in directions that are contrary to your word, but the Father God, we would bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and that, Lord God, your name, your power, and your life would reign supreme and preeminent in all that we are, say, and do for the glory of your kingdom. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask it. And I pray, Lord God, for insight, revelation, and understanding to flood into our hearts and minds. That, Lord God, as we've sown seed today, the fruit that would grow would develop and be strong in each and every one of us. That, Father, we would not fail you. We would glorify you. And that the word of our testimony and the blood speaking through that would give us that overcoming life in the name of Jesus. We glorify and thank you for it and praise you in Jesus' name. I pray a blessing over every home represented here, every home over Zoom, every home, a person, every fellowship that we've had with people in the name of Jesus. For those that are away, for Kerry and Match, for the Gray family, wherever they might be, Lord God, as they fellowship and commune wherever they are. Father, in the name of Jesus, for all those that are in the city regions that can't be here with us, we speak the precious blood over their homes and lives and hearts and their minds for their covering and their protection, and the power of that blood and the provision of that blood would be their portion now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it. Amen. Amen. Well, great to be able to share and sing and worship God together. Whether you've been here or whether you've been via the internet, we just know that God is moving and God is providing and God is powerful. And that blood, its provision and protection and power, is your portion in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless you all. Amen.